100 years of conscious intent on designing and creating these things to better our life, our, you know, human existence as a society. So if you're saying that because of conscious design from humans, right, creating this robust, you know, monetary social structured system that we see now, yeah, but it took actual conscious intent to do that. Like, we didn't, it just didn't happen. We focused on making this happen.
What does that have to do with evolution?
Because it gives the idea of design. Are you familiar with the watchmaker's theory?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, no one walks up on a watch on the beach.
Yeah, but we know that watches are designed. We don't know that life is designed. It's a circular argument if you apply that to life.
Using the argument, it's a circular argument in a way to contradict, as a kind of like a gotcha moment. Like, ask somebody about regression, like infinite regression. Their argument's circular. Well, it's just infinite regression because it's infinite regression.
That sounds like a tautology, but I don't know what that has to do with evolution either. So, like, for what examples of design do you see in life?
The symbiosis in which your lungs work cohesively with trees that produce oxygen, with how your eyes work receiving photons so that you can see and translate that into something that is usable for you as an entity. Everything is symbiotically related. Otherwise, it would just be a bunch of atoms randomly bumping into each other like freaking pachinko balls.
Well, atoms do bump into each other, but natural selection what would be a good way to put this? Not everything can see. So if sight is such an advantage, then why would a designer not give eyeballs to trees, to bacteria or whatever, to worms? Some worms have eye spots, but worms not really an actual taxonomic group is another problem.
Maybe the designer didn't want them to and wanted us to.
Okay, see, that's not an explanation. Maybe retroactively I can just say this is what the designer would have done. Like, this isn't a working model or an explanation.
Do you know for certain? So then we're all just speculating, right? You're speculating. I'm speculating.
Yeah, but in science, you can make testable, we do our best to make testable speculations. And when tests don't confirm what we thought, we throw old bad ideas out, but we develop new ideas.
I agree. Happens
all the time.
To date, have you had a testable speculation that disproved God's existence?
That disproved God's existence?
Yes. Where you could say unequivocally, without doubt, empirically, here you go, God does not exist.
You can't do that with the supernatural realm, but there are logical contradictions that make a particular God somebody believes in the equivalent of a married bachelor. So you can throw that out. But I don't. There are people that think gods, like literally God, can't exist. I don't really waste my time arguing about that kind of stuff. So again, I just kind of want to focus on more of the scientifical stuff.
I gotcha. Yeah, I would say, look, I appreciate you seem like a pretty educated guy. The only thing I would say, and this is just, don't take this as a snark. I'm going to preface it with just a very simple proposition. You're inviting people, you sound like a very intelligent guy. You're inviting people up who may be, in some cases, way less intelligent than you. And again, you're inviting them into your space to have a debate. Maybe receive it with a little bit more humbleness of like, all right, well, let me try and explain to you my point without diminishing you and trying to, you know, laugh you or scoff at your philosophies and ideas.
I've been doing this for like 3 years. I know there are very few days where I hear something I haven't heard before, and I know what the good arguments and the bad arguments are.
Okay, I'm confused as to how that relates to what I just said.
Because I laughed at VOR because everything he says is bullshit.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I've heard it before.
Listen, his simulation theory, again, brain in a vat, man. It's easy to scoff at something, but until you these are proposed or posited.
That would prove a being of sufficient technological ability as much as it would prove a creator. In fact, I would argue it proves that far more than a creator, because we actually, if we approach this from like using Bayesian reasoning, pulling on priors, we know that weak simulations exist because we can make them. We don't know that a supernatural creator exists. So if you want to go with like what's the better explanation, the theistic explanation defaults to last place.
I'll close with this, with the Big Bang Theory, right? Everything expanded out rapidly. Would we agree with that?
Kind of, sort of, except that makes it sound like the universe used to be this big and now it's this big, which isn't how to correctly think about it. It's always been infinite.
I didn't reference size or anything. I just said whatever size you want to attribute, we can attribute and then say, I'll agree with you. But let's just say everything expanded outwards in a 360 degree all directions, right? Or is that not accurate?
Not really, because it expanded in all directions from all perspectives. And when you say it like that, it sounds like it expanded from the middle, which is not really the case. It's more complex than that.
Explain to me, then uncomplicate it for me and explain to me how it expanded outwards. Where is this theorized?
So space itself is expanding, but there's no middle to the expansion. If you take... if you just take like a big grid of dots and you copy and paste those dots and then take the corners of the one on top and just pull it out a little more, this is a really great way to visualize it. You'll see that progressively, the farther away you get, all the dots get farther away. But no matter where you shuffle that, it always does that from all perspectives. So again, when you say... space expanding, it expands from all directions, and it's very, very difficult to word that in a way that sounds, that doesn't make like some sort of anthropic, I don't want to call it a fallacy, but like that doesn't take it from our perspective and say, yeah, from here everything expanded, or from over there everything expanded. It's, again, it expanded outward in all directions from all perspectives.
But when you think about, and it's easy to say, well, space is expanding too, right? And that's,
yeah,
that sounds intelligent, and it might just very well be intelligent, but then you have to think, what is space expanding into? If space itself is expanding, what is it expanding into? Because we can't then just disregard that outer edge of space that's being expanded and just disregard it.
Well, there isn't an outer edge from everything we can glean about the universe. It doesn't have an edge. It just literally goes on forever. But
correct.
But I don't know how, even if the universe was finite and expanding into something, but we don't know what it is. Like, what's it supposed to be? God's bosom or something? What would that? Where is this? How is this taking us to theism?
So, again, we kind of got off on a tributary of, you know, where the starting point was. The starting point is truthfully irrelevant. You can have it wherever you want it to be. I think us as people who think about this can have it be the center, all points, doesn't matter. If everything was condensed into a less expanded area of mass, does that sound accurate?
The universe used to be more dense than it is today, yeah.
Right, so we expanded out and got bigger.
Space expands and things, the space between things expands, yeah. But the amount of stuff is conserved, as far as we can tell.
So, to my understanding, when Brian Cox, Neil deGrasse Tyson, any well-noted Michio Kaku, Hawkins, you name it, all of them speak of a point in reality where things were dense and expanded out rapidly? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have that to work with. If those things expanded out, if all the atoms that we now see in this vast observable universe was much denser at one point and expanded out rapidly, right? How then, with the governing forces, heat, cold, and gravity, do we have all of the intricate designed symbiotic things?
I told you this earlier. Because there's usable energy that can be extracted to do work.
What's doing that work? It doesn't randomly just bump. Two atoms that are heading in opposite directions or even parallel don't decide all of a sudden just to go, hey, let's make a heart that pumps creates a circulatory system that pumps blood through a body that feeds a large organ called skin that also happens to work in absolute harmony with a brain.
Do you think a miracle happens every time a snowflake is formed?
Possibly, yes. That's a subjective matter of view, my friend. That's me thinking that just the fact of us existing is a miracle.
Okay, so is literally everything a miracle?
Quite possibly, yes.
Okay, well then you have no symmetry breaker and you have no way to justify your claim. If everything is this thing, then I mean there's no test. It can only be declared. The reason I asked, do you think a miracle happens every time a snowflake formed, which I was hoping the answer was no, was I was going to say, okay, well those are just molecules in motion obeying the laws of physics. Tell me how the chemistry of life is in any way different, because no miraculous event takes place anytime a living thing does anything. But if everything's a miracle, then, well, I mean, that's the claim, but I don't see a justificatory pathway for that. Did I say that? Justificatory? Okay.
Well, let me not say that. We'll go with what you probably would have gotten the answer from somebody else. No, everything's not a miracle. No, it's not a miracle. I'm just trying to see where you would have gone with this. So let's go with no, every snowflake that forms is not a miracle.
Yeah. So how is the water forming snowflakes is just physics. Well, it's chemistry too, because they form covalent bonds. So how is the physics and chemistry of a snowflake forming fundamentally different than the physics and chemistry of life? I agree that the physics and chemistry of life is much more complex, but I don't see room for a miracle taking place anywhere in there.
It is also accompanied by consciousness, which we can see and observe right now.
Yeah, but we don't know what consciousness is.
And here is the crux. The hard problem of consciousness.
Hard?
Don't say it like that.
I have to. It's a court order.
Oh, okay. If it's your court order, I don't want you to be subject to any penalties or fines. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a huge, huge problem that I just, you know, you hear this, it's an emergent property and it's an emergent this and it's an emergent that, and great. Guess what? If you step away from it and you look at the entirety of the planet, then emergence seems to be happening all over and working perfectly fine in creating all these intricate, beautiful systems.
Therefore, the universe is the product of a mind?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's much more strong of an argument for simulation theory than for supernaturalism. Because we still don't see evidence of any supernaturalism anywhere. We have things that we can't explain yet, but even the consciousness that I'm experiencing that I can't help but experience, I have no reason to call it the product of a miracle, because I don't think I'm a miracle. I don't claim to be divine or anything like that. And then again, if we just expand the scope to everything, then it's just much more of a stronger case for simulation, because we know that weak simulations are a thing, but we don't know that supernaturalism is a thing.
We're not even talking about two sides of the same coin when you make that statement. We're talking about the same side of the same coin.
I
So
r/whoosh.
Reference a simulation. Okay, well then a simulation implies something was created to simulate, right? From some outside external, you know, place or being potentially. So they're one and the same thing. If God sets outside of time and created a simulation for us to live with, within, and this is the, you know, the biblical theatrics of it being played out, great. If it's a simulation, it's the same thing. Some, you know, external governing mind that said, hey, I'm going to create all this for you guys so I can just watch you.
Yeah. Again, the problem, this doesn't lead to any kind of conclusion. Because let's not say, what I thought you were going with there is infinite regression. Like, well, the simulators, we have to establish a cause for them and so on and so forth. Okay. If you look at the universe we live in, isn't it, do you really not think it's possible that a less than perfect being, even a supernatural one, even a godlike being, but isn't it possible that a less than perfect being created this universe?
Absolutely. I think God is less than perfect.
Then
That's what I told you. There's a very ambiguous. Well, sorry, go ahead.
You just have a different thought of this kind of thing, because then a more perfect being than that could have created the being that created this universe. And again, we like to get to dead ends, but this isn't the road to a dead end. It's just a road. It goes on forever. And the road, as Duane Allman said. Although I think Dickie Betts wrote that song.
My dad played with him, by the way.
Really?
Yep.
Ah, Dickie Betts and Duane Allman are like two of my favorite guitarists ever.
My dad is serving his 33rd year in prison. he's a great guy. He happened to like heroin a lot, and a lot of those guys back in the 70s liked heroin also.
That's true. That was so out of pocket.
No, hey, listen, man. I wear it on my sleeve. If you don't, then you're not a real person. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. This is how I function. This is how my operating system likes to share information. But no, Duane Allman, Dickie Betts, Frank Beard, I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah, but he's a top.
Yeah, my dad, great story, and then I'll run. I'll let you some of your other guests come up. My dad and Frank Beard were really close friends, and I was born in Houston.
And, are there like YouTube videos or something of your dad playing guitar or something like that?
Yeah, look him up, Freddie Johnson. Nothing famous. He went to prison in 1979, so he got out. He had brief interludes of freedom where he was like, all right, let's see what this is all about, but then went back. He's a black shirt, guitar, standing on a stage with a ball cap on.
Bad reputation?
I don't know. Back is a very – not a lot for presentation.
No, this is a new video. I don't know. That's – kind of a generic name, kind of like my name, unfortunately. All right, well, that's fascinating. All right, anything else?
So they were my mom and Frank Beard's wife went out to the Galleria Mall in Houston to grab these like really nice blankets or whatever. They come back, they end up going back out, and Frank and my dad were doing heroin and smoking cigarettes at the same time. And Frank fell asleep with a cigarette in his hand on this brand new comforter, caught the whole place on fire, and almost burnt our house down.
Wow, man, yeah. that sounds like rock and roll.
But you know what, man? I mean, people make mistakes, and a lot of those guys. I don't hold anything against my dad. My dad's, if you ever met him, he's a virulent Christian, so strong-minded and believes in creationism. But he's a good guy. He's got a good heart, and I think he just made some mistakes. And I think that's where a lot of people find themselves.
Yeah, well, I think the war on drugs is stupid. So.
We would agree. I just don't know what the right answer is, because I don't know if you have kids. I've got two daughters, and it is a very scary thing when you think about how to counteract fentanyl and the stuff that just – it's society killing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can make drugs illegal but not do stupid shit like three strikes and you're out and that kind of stuff. But anyways – this is not this is a little bit outside the
off topic.
Scope of
change your marquee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tomorrow nobody's going to have a marquee anymore. So
I think it might be the. I think you might only see about 36 hours of silence, And then once Mop Top gets in, they're going to probably have a 90-day stay. So
could be. I guess we'll find out. All right. Anything else?
Nope. Yeah, that's it, man. Don't cancel your account. You'll probably be able to activate it in maybe 48 hours.
I wasn't gonna, but thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Nice meeting you, man. Enjoy your Saturday.